Rejoice in the Lord. That's the instruction of the psalm. It's the instruction of the song. And I'm sure that we could go through our Bible reading today, verse by verse, and find all the deep and the hidden meaning in it, but let's not. Today, let's just talk about rejoice in the Lord. Or maybe we'll start with a little bit of background, just a little bit. And then we'll talk about rejoice in the Lord. And first, there's that wonderful word, rejoice. Not a memo regarding joyce, but it means to sing joyfully, to celebrate, to be glad, to take delight, to be full of joy, to feel or to show great happiness. And it's the English translation of a Hebrew word that is pronounced ranan. Everyone say ranan. And that really does mean to creak, like a tree creaks, or to emit this really shrill and grating sound. But its context usually has more of a shouting for joy kind of thing to do with it. Though it's also expressed for just like crying out, usually with joy, but not necessarily, or being completely overcome. There's a whole lot in this little word, rejoice. All those different things. It's deeper than it first seems. But when you hear rejoice, you can think of all of that kind of included. And then there's this interesting phrase at the end. I don't know if it struck you at all, but it says, God frustrates the plans of the peoples. Did you hear that? And go, what does that mean? Because when I read this, I go, what does that mean? It's often understood to mean that God thwarts the plans of the wicked. And it's used by whatever group is kind of in power or disagreeing with another group of people, will come out and quote something from the Psalms like this, God thwarts the plans of the wicked. And, you know, whoever's the one that seems to think that they're right at the time can use that. But I think it's better understood a little bit different. Like, we make lots of plans. We make these plans for ourselves, but sometimes and even often we don't pay attention to or understand or include God's plans in our plans. You ever done that? Got all these plans there? So maybe the question, instead of what plans does God thwart, is it the wicked people or what plans of what peoples, when is God frustrating our plans? And when is it time to change direction because God is frustrating our plans because we're not including God's plan or we're not starting with God's plan in our plans? And when is it just being frustrated by something outside? It's not God frustrating the plans. It's just teaching us perseverance. And that's a really tough question to answer because sometimes you've got these great plans and they're not working out. And you need to persevere and keep moving forward and say that this is going to happen. And other times, you're going along with plans that are just not the right plan. You got to take a step back. And I don't have the complete answer to how you decide, but I have just a couple guidelines. Like, check the plan that you have. Check the plan that we have. Check the plan that whatever group has against the two rules of love God and love others. And if you qualify under those plans, you know, your plan fits those two rules, love God and one another, then also remember God's care for the oppressed, for the exploited, for the poor, for the marginalized. And check it against that. So you've got plans. They're being frustrated. Is it God frustrating? Is it being frustrated for other reasons? Check it against the two. Love God, love others. Remember about God's care for the poor, for the marginalized, for the oppressed. It's not a complete answer. It's the best guideline I have for when things aren't going the way that you thought they ought to and you had plans. But now back to rejoice. Rejoice. It's deeper than it first seems. And when is God frustrating our plans and it's time to change direction? And when is something else frustrating our plans and we need to persevere? It's another good question. But we're going to stick to the first one. Rejoice. Do you remember what rejoice means? Raise your hand if you do. Don't raise your hand if you don't. Who knows? Okay, shout it out. Oh, I just gave it away.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, what did we say three times really loud? Let's hear it.
Hallelujah.
Boy, there's not as much energy for hallelujah there as it was during the kids' sermon. Let's try it just once. One time as loud as you possibly can. One, two, three.
Hallelujah.
There we go. Rejoice. I need an usher to get a microphone, though. Because today, this is the time, we're going to share what makes us rejoice. Some of you might think, it's fishing and it's quiet and it's not a loud hallelujah. It's when the lure hits the water and there's that little plink and then it's the quiet. Then it's reeling in, and then it's just a little thought. You know, that feeling, that sense of awe that you have. Anyone have a sense of awe when they're fishing? What other times do you rejoice? Are you thinking of it now? You're really nervous, aren't you? Why is he doing this to us? Warren, I know you have a reason to rejoice today. What is it? 18 years of happy marriage. That is singing. They're singing joyfully, I'm sure, going on in your mind. There is celebration. There is happiness. There is awe that you have been able to have such a happy marriage for such a long time. And congratulations. That's worth rejoicing. What else is worth rejoicing about? Go ahead. Shout it out if the microphone's not nearby. Giving birth to your children. And there's the shout as it's happening. That's a whole different shout. But giving birth to children, that's reason to rejoice. Yes, what else?
Just being happy.
Just being happy. That's excellent. It is cause to rejoice. What else? Debbie?
Going somewhere and coming back home safely.
Going somewhere and coming back home safely. A vacation, a trip, whatever it was. Being a delegate and saying, Matthew's from Illinois. That was what you just did. And coming home safely. I've got to write all these down because I didn't fully, do a text of the sermon because, we're participating in that today, but I want to include the text of the sermon online later. So children, return happy. It might not be exactly what you said, but it'll be really, really close. I saw lots of hands go up. Why else do you rejoice? Way back there, Diane, yes. Having a place you love to worship. Thank you so much. What else? Yes, Pat.
I love going over to Yorkville on Tuesday and Friday to see my 80 people that I've met over there. It is just wonderful.
Seeing all the friends that you've met in Yorkville.
Love it.
Not that Yorkville is any better than Salmonok.
No.
But being able to see friends out of town, right? Yes, Jean. I mean, Karen, sorry.
I'm enjoying my boat fishing.
Going fishing. I saw other hands. Roger?
Going down to Alabama and always having a successful fishing trip and coming home and sharing with my good friends, giving warm hugs to the family.
Taking a vacation in Alabama, coming home with the fish that you caught there and sharing good times and good food with friends. Amen. Bev, you had your hand up.
Oh, just receiving my seated rain. Like, just utterly, really. That's a lot of reason.
Did you hear the rain? Was it about 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, 4? I don't know when it was. It started coming down pretty good today. Did you hear it? Was it? It was here, right? Yeah. Great. Yes. Seeing that. Jean?
Oh, having a family reunion with our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren.
I'll bet that was wonderful last week. Oh, I'm so glad that you got to do that. Rayburn?
Just having my entire new family, my grandchildren, come to visit me yesterday, take me out to eat.
Family gathering, getting together, especially when you don't get to see them as often as you'd like to. That's right. I saw a hand come up over here. Any others? Dave.
Having training of my daughter Allison and my other daughter appears to be moving in with me. Well, I don't know what that means either.
Family togetherness and safety in training, especially in schooling and in military training there. Dad, you had your hand up.
Waking up on a cool Saturday morning in the Rocky Mountains.
That's reason to celebrate. Waking up on a cool, clear morning in the Rocky Mountains. I got to do that on vacation just like you did for 7 weeks or 6 weeks or whatever it was that you were there. 5 weeks. It felt like seven, though, right? Sandy.
Having only
28 more days. Isn't there a movie, 28 Days? But it was a whole different thing. Right, yeah. 28 days until retirement. Mom.
Okay, I'm having 8 grandchildren, and it takes each one of them shopping for a birthday.
my mother, she has 8 grandchildren, and she has taken them in the last week, I think, or last 2 weeks, I don't know what it was, but takes each one shopping for their birthday, even though it's not during the time of their birthday, and the joy that you've had that, and the exhaustion too at the end of the day, I'm sure, but... And the pictures, yes, and Dad, you probably have to make a photo album from those, right? Yeah. Oh, yes, watching them each year as they get older and their hair gets longer and their face gets different and everything. Great to rejoice. I'll bet you've had such memories from those. Madeline?
I think good health. You sometimes take that for granted, but when you go home every day, then you're blessed
to know. Yes, it's only when we see... when it's not happening too. But we are so blessed when we have good health, and that's reason to rejoice. Thanks. Yeah, Cindy.
Rejoicing in the fact that you're on a boat ride with Sister William here. We all thought our cell phones were ringing, and instead we were on Lake Holiday, and there was a gentleman up on the cliff playing the bagpipes.
Oh.
And it was just so cool to stop and listen to that.
So hearing unexpected music, just wondering what that is, and then sitting for a minute and just enjoying that. Oh, think of all these things that we get. Are there more? Because I keep seeing hands go up. Yes, Gail. Getting the perfect shot, a photographic shot. Some of the pictures that Gail took yesterday in Chicago, was it yesterday or the day before? They're just beautiful. And having kids in the house, but seeing what you have done to getting that perfect thing to occur, to get that shot. So another hand go up back there. Seeing the kids go back to school. Yeah, can we see, can we get all an amen from all the parents? Seeing kids go back to school. So that the kids can learn. Right, because that's really what we're talking about there. So now there's another question. You've had all this. Were there more that I didn't get to say? There's another question. These are reasons that we do rejoice. How do we rejoice? You know, in church, we stand up and we sing songs. We clap our hands. We shout hallelujah. But we're not always in church. There are other ways to rejoice. And during the summertime, you know, there's lots of people rejoicing all over the place and not here on Sunday, right? So what ways do you rejoice? It's a harder one. Anybody just shout out in the middle of a fishing trip, hallelujah? Probably not, right? Sometimes it's quiet for me, and I rejoice by grabbing my guitar and just playing and having music and feeling the vibration of the instrument against my body and feeling that all the way through. And that is rejoicing to me. Sometimes I shout. Sometimes I pray silently. What else do you do to rejoice?
Rejoice by prayer.
In prayer, definitely. Yes, we can rejoice in prayer. What else? Yes, Madeline. Singing. And not just in church, but in church too, right? Singing is a great way to rejoice. Yes?
Calling a friend.
And sharing just good times together, bubbling about what's been going on. How else? Yeah, Delis. When you're doing a project, yes, and you're into that, and you're rejoicing because that is such an enjoyable thing, and you get to see what you've accomplished afterwards. What else? We don't have as much on that one. We kind of said all of our rejoicing things. Well, I don't know exactly what I do. Observe. You look like you did on the lake. You just sat there and went. Or, you know, it's those deep breaths. You're kind of like, oh, that is so neat. The context of rejoice in this passage is loud. It's exuberant. You know, it's something that is noticeable. But there are other ways to rejoice. I think we'd all recognize that loudness works, but not in every occasion. And quietness works, but not in every occasion. So here's another question. Where do you rejoice? In church. Okay, we got that one. Where else? Anywhere. I love that. Who said it? Anywhere. Oh, you're pointing to each other. You can rejoice anywhere. Granted, rejoicing in a quiet prayer service out loud is probably not the best way to do that. Or in the middle of school when you're really feeling great and the teacher says it's study hall time, be quiet, and shouting out will probably earn you a detention, right? And at work, it's not always a good idea just to stand up and shout out. But other times, maybe it is. And maybe it is great to wake up in the morning and sing, "Oh, what a beautiful morning," as my dad used to do to me and as I still do on occasion to my kids. They hate it. But that's a celebration. And sometimes it is waking up way too cheerful. Anybody wake up way too cheerful? Anybody wake up and really, really get bothered by people who are way too cheerful? Usually a lot more hands go up then. We can rejoice anywhere. We can rejoice by singing, by prayer, by calling a friend and sharing with them, by doing woodwork, by doing projects, by that deep, awesome breath. We rejoice when our kids go back to school. We rejoice when our kids are in the house. We rejoice at unexpected, joyous occasions like music on the lake. We rejoice shopping with our grandchildren and seeing them grow up over the years through that experience. We rejoice with good health. We rejoice with the safety of our kids, of our family, especially in times of training and learning. We rejoice when the family's together for reunions, for different occasions. We rejoice at seeing friends. We rejoice when we go fishing. We rejoice when we've gone away and come back home safely. We rejoice when we're just happy. And we rejoice when we have a place where we love to worship. All those different things. So how do we incorporate all of that joy? Each time I said one of those things, I'm sure that you had this memory of one of those occasions, that you had a memory of something in church. You had a memory of even just this morning shouting out hallelujah. How do we consolidate that joy? Well, it's not really consolidate. How do we take that joy and put it into that shouting out, that being overcome, that creaking, that loud shrillness together in this place on this day? So how do we rejoice in the Lord right now? Let's do it a few different ways. First of all, let's take a deep breath and feel the awe of being among our family and our friends here as we worship God. Let's just take a moment and do that. Let's take a minute and let's rejoice by singing. Let's just sing a cappella, one verse, the first verse of Amazing Grace, with as much passion, with as much exuberance, with as much feeling as you possibly can. Are you ready for that? We do need a note, though. Give us a note. There we go.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sounds that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. What a life for now.
And let's end this up with rejoicing by shouting it aloud. Let's shout three times as loud as we can, with an exuberant voice, with a shrill, maybe even grating voice, crying out, rejoicing to God by shouting out hallelujah. Are you ready? Here we go. Hallelujah! 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 Rejoice in the Lord. Let's pray. God, thank you for giving us reasons to celebrate. Thank you for giving us occasions to celebrate, and thank you giving us ways to celebrate. Thank you that we can rejoice. Help us to share that rejoicing with all we meet, to share the good times, to share that we have a God who is good and that we have much to be thankful for. Amen.